damage done earlier.
The government is aware that this cartoon is likely to cause significant offence to people in Indonesia, and we would wish to dissociate the government completely from this tasteless cartoon.
Indonesian community leaders in Australia say the relationship will be put under further strain.
The situation is already bad, but with the cartoon it will be made even worse.
Mr. Downer today moved to limit the damage, issuing statements in Jakarta and Canberra distancing the Australian government from Bill Leake's cartoon. He wasn't expecting the Indonesian government to take similar action.
We have a different culture. I mean, we're much more used to being beaten up on in the media.
A spokesperson for the Indonesian government described the cartoon as being in poor taste, but said President Yudhoyono laughed when it was described to him. And a laugh is what Bill Leake was hoping for. Philip Lasker, ABC News.
A man and woman are fighting for their lives after a shooting in a shopping centre car park in Sydney's west this afternoon. The couple is in Liverpool Hospital in a critical condition. The incident was at Fairfield and is not believed to be linked to recent shootings in western and southwestern Sydney.
Police on alert after a week when escalating gun crime dominated the headlines were soon on the scene at Fairfield Forum. They found a man shot in the head and a woman with gunshot wounds to the head and back.
All I saw was her on the floor as I drove in with blood at the back of her head and blood on her back.
When we come with our boss, we saw the lady on the floor and the head was bleeding. And then we called the police, the ambulance, and then I go downstairs and call the security. He comes there.
The man was found in the back of the car with a small handgun nearby.
We are treating this as possibly a domestic matter.
Although police soon ruled out any link to the recent spate of gun crime in Sydney, their quick response highlighted their sensitivity to the issue. The mobile squad set up in response to the double murder at Granville in the western suburbs on Wednesday night was mobilised immediately.
Police reacted very quickly. We had all investigators and local police in position very soon after this.
The man and woman are both in a critical condition at Liverpool Hospital and are tonight undergoing emergency surgery. Deborah Rice, ABC News, Fairfield.
State Treasurer Michael Costa has denied he's backed down in a row with his federal counterpart Peter Costello over taxes. Before yesterday's meeting of state and federal treasurers, Mr. Costa declared New South Wales would not cut any more taxes without getting a fairer share of GST revenue. But when the meeting got underway, New South Wales agreed in principle to cut state taxes worth more than $1 billion a year, as it was given more time than other states to phase them out.
We will only agree to a timetable that ensures that we can fund our essential services. That's a precondition, it's not negotiable, and I made that very clear to Mr. Costello.
The Labor Party has made New South Wales uncompetitive. We need to get those business taxes down. We need to do it as quickly as possible so we can get investment back.
The planned cuts in five business taxes will mean savings on home mortgages and taxes on leases and rentals. An abattoir in the state's central west has become the first company to use new industrial laws to sack workers to suit its operational needs. 29 employees have been told their jobs will end in 5 weeks. They can then reapply for 20 jobs at lower pay. The company has refused to comment. The unions say it's a sign of things to come.
Rodney Benny didn't see the changes in his workplace coming.
Bit of a shock to us all, how it all happened.
Like he has for the last 9 years, yesterday he drove to the abattoir in Cowra. Then he and 28 other workers were handed termination notices. They were also told in 5 weeks they could reapply. Significantly lower federal award rates.
It's terrible to know that you walk into work one morning and, you know, you've really got no future there at all.
Because Cowra Abattoir employs more than 100 workers, under the new industrial relations legislation, it's still liable for unfair dismissal claims. It is the first company to seek an exemption due to operational reasons, as set out in the new act.
Obviously, the company believe that they have the right to get out of this enterprise agreement with these current IR regulations.
The union says the entire meat industry is viewing this as a test case, watching to see just how broadly the operational provisions in the new IR laws can be applied. The company wouldn't comment today, neither would the Workplace Relations Minister. The brand new Federal Office of Workplace Services did say the legitimacy of changes made for operational reasons can be challenged at the Industrial Relations Commission. Union leaders say that's their next step.
The way the laws are framed, they give employers a loaded gun to use that term every time they want to sack people. So we're going to go and test that and see if we can't have those sorts of decisions overturned.
Back in Cowra, workers are bracing for a salary drop of nearly 25%. Others won't have a job at all. Norman Hermont, ABC News, Cowra.
Thailand is about to go to the polls, but it's unlikely to bring an end to the country's mounting political crisis. The Prime Minister is having to deal with a huge public backlash and an opposition threatening to boycott the vote. Southeast Asia correspondent Peter Lloyd reports from Bangkok.
In Bangkok, they're preparing ballot papers for a poisoned poll, marking the start of a prolonged political crisis for Thailand. For weeks now, protesters have been on the streets demanding the resignation of Prime Minister Thaksin Shinawat. Opponents accuse the billionaire tycoon-turned-politician of corruption and abuse of power. But Mr. Thaksin still remains hugely popular, especially with rural voters. His decision to call elections 3 years early was intended to silence his urban critics. But the tactic backfired when the opposition parties announced they were boycotting the poll.
We're thinking in the long term. If we had joined the elections, if we had provided Thaksin with legitimacy, we are only helping him consolidate a regime which is profoundly undemocratic.
This has all the makings of a perfect political storm, an entrenched protest movement trying to drive out an elected leader, and elections that may not produce a parliament or a prime minister. There's no precedent for what happens next.
Things could turn ugly, with more protests planned and the government saying it won't rule out a crackdown.
If they don't respect the people's decision, I think this is going to be a nightmare for the country.
Some want Thailand's King Bhumibol Adulyadej to intervene and appoint an interim leader. This much-loved but frail old man is seen by his subjects as a living god, but in practice he has little real power and has given no sign that he wants to get involved. Peter Lloyd, ABC News, Bangkok.
As Israel increases the pressure on Palestinian militants, it now seems they're turning on themselves. Two rival factions have clashed on the streets of Gaza City, ending in a bloody gun battle which left at least 12 dead. Middle East correspondent Matt Brown reports from Gaza.
The Popular Resistance Committees are one of the most radical Palestinian militant groups. The leader of their armed wing, Abu Yusuf al-Gugur, was responsible for ordering scores of rocket attacks on Israel. Witnesses say he was killed when a car exploded next to him as he was walking to the local mosque. Israeli aircraft sometimes fire missiles at Palestinian militants, but witnesses say this appears to have been the result of a car bomb. The Israeli military denies being involved in the blast. A spokesman for the Popular Resistance Committees blamed security officials from the rival Palestinian Fatah faction. But he also accused them of collaborating with Israeli intelligence to carry out the assassination. So Fatah gunmen moved in and attempted to abduct him. When reinforcements from the Popular Resistance Committees arrived, the factional conflict intensified. Two children were wounded in the crossfire. During the funeral march, the militants pledged to avenge the death of their commander. As the march wound its way to the cemetery, the militants clashed with members of the Palestinian Security Force who were loyal to Fatah. Several people were killed. The Israeli military has stepped up operations against Palestinian militants after they fired an imported military-grade rocket into Israel during the week. Israel shelled the fields used to launch the rockets dozens of times overnight. Matt Brown, ABC News, Gaza.
Common human viruses could be the reason for hundreds of unexplained stillbirths in Australia each year. Medical researchers say they hope to prevent further stillbirths by limiting the exposure of pregnant women to a range of viral infections.
In Australia, three babies are stillborn every day, and a third of those families are left to cope without a medical explanation.
It's just overwhelming, and the grief is profound, and your whole world ceases to make sense.
Now the University of New South Wales is looking at the impact of up to 60 viruses which cross the placenta from the mother to her fetus. Early findings were presented at a national conference on unexplained stillbirths held in Perth. But scientists are already confident they've identified problem viruses which would respond to treatments during pregnancy.
If they were universally successful, then you'd prevent about somewhere between 60 and 70 babies each year from dying.
One such infection, the cytomegalovirus, or CMV, is a common virus responsible for such infections as herpes or glandular fever. It's already known to cause abnormalities in newborns, such as blindness and deafness. The latest research shows CMV is also present in many stillborn babies, although 90% of CMV-affected babies are born healthy.
We think that it's more complex than just getting a viral infection. We think that you probably have to get it at the right time. Maybe you have to be genetically predisposed. Maybe other infections at the same time make that infection worse.
Scientists hope the viral research may lead to vaccinations which prevent infection during pregnancy. The conference also discussed a need for a focused inquiry into the cause of each fetal death.
Just not saying it's one of those things, it's one of life events that not all babies survive. That's not adequate for the parents of a stillborn baby.
Finding a cause, say doctors, is vital for reassuring parents about subsequent pregnancies. Kelly Tannock, ABC News, Perth.
One of the Sydney cinemas credited with bringing art house movies to a wider audience will never show a film again. The Valhalla in inner city Glebe has been sold for almost $3 million and will be converted into offices. It closed its doors last August after 7 decades as a venue for theatre, music and avant-garde cinema.
More knife ship transport,
determination
more
that it wasn't viable in cinema anymore. But with a lot of negotiation, we think we've got a good developer on board who's sensitive to heritage buildings and is going to retain the heritage foyer area and the exterior of the building.
The Valhalla's heyday was the 1980s, but patronage fell away in recent years as movie buffs took to watching films on DVD
and the torture of wheat
of their own homes. Tonight's top story, police say the arrest of 3 men in Melbourne has significantly disrupted a group allegedly plotting a terrorist attack. And still to come, the series may be settled, but it's still tough out in the middle between Australia and South Africa.
Now we get the Wombat for 19 news or what?
The New South Wales Waratahs has stretched their Super 14 winning streak to 5 games.
All right, this is watching 7 p.m. ABC News on NIM-FM. Welcome, Tanya. Welcome, Ian.
Thank you.
Yes, I promised not to mention kebabs or vindaloo this week, Martin. 20 cents in the NIM-FM funding jar.
Yeah. Have you got the indigestion from it yet? Or
Much.
Yeah, well, we had a lot of things tonight. All right, so we're kicking off. What have we got?
40 million illegals in the States.
40 million?
Illegals, yeah. Hey, Cheech and Chong got a job and not unpleasant work. The authorities and the State Revenue Department should install treadmills on the border region so the Latino folk can give back by producing renewable kinetic energy, charging border town generators. For Mexico too. Martin?
All right, so they've got to get electricity out of that, yeah.
They all moved back to Colombia because they could grow coca leaves again.
Building longboards with cigars for the King of Tonga.
Because they've noticed the conspicuous sort of absence.
You're not talking in the mic, I get you. Yeah. Well, that's one option. I heard they're going to get some jobs as minutemen to protect the border against their own relatives. Could be.
Night vision binoculars, free.
These tyrants are capable of doing anything to people. We have 40 refugees from West Papua recently coming to Australia, being granted some temporary, you know, some temporary protection or whatever it's called.
Mm.
And it caused a bit of a kerfuffle with the Golkar party in Indonesia, getting miffy about Australia, because I thought that felt like a deja vu with East Timor.
Yeah. Well, autonomy there in Jaya, free Papua. But while we're scarring the face of Indonesian politics, please remember that Indonesia is the world's largest archipelago. and there is a vast array of cultures and beliefs within. Governments and terrorists don't always speak for the intricacies of society. You just have to look here at home, for example. Whilst living in Darwin, I met the kindest, open-hearted Indonesian folk from East Timor to Flores, and I enjoyed the atmosphere at Brisbane's Indo Fest last year, Martin and Tanya. It's a delicate subject, tropical island independence to our north under the banner of many accents. But I still enjoyed the amorous dingo cartoons portrayed in of Howard and Downer in the Jakarta media, just the same, it's refreshing.
It could be a bit more original.
Well, I'm not mentioning the Australian Weekend cartoon, of course, Weekend Australian, I might add.
I can't believe they actually published it.
It's a directional mic, Tanya.
I can't believe they actually published those
Which
cartoons.
Country? Both countries?
Both. I mean, obviously the Indonesian was in reaction to the Australian, one would think.
The Australian one was a reaction to the Indonesian one.
Really?
But there was more racial overtones.
Really?
Two Anglo-Saxons in the Indonesian one, and then we had a bit of a mixed match in the other, so it's a bit racist.
Hey, I showed the weirdest cartoon when I was in Canberra. It was a comment on addiction and junkies and the whole sort of, well, you could say dog-eat-dog mentality, but it had the same sort of position, except somebody, it was two rats, and one was caught in a trap and obviously dead and had its head squashed, and the other one was doing the same thing as was depicted from behind to the one that was caught in the trap.
Ratty style.
Something like that. And it was the same comment.
Yeah. To me, it seems like West Papua got a lot of copper and bauxite and interesting mining objectives for
any mining company.
Any mining company, but particularly Australian ones. And so isn't this a little bit like we liberate East Timor so they can give us their gas fields?
Why not?
Isn't that the fear? I mean, this is the perception, I believe, the Golka Party has. You know? This is why this whole
couple
started, you know, because they were reminded of being invaded by our army to get cut off East Timor from their archipelago, as you call it, you know, and made an independent country, and therefore they were able to negotiate their gas field with us, which we then eventually got two-thirds of.
Well, it's funny, actually. You're talking about Ricey heading over there, a little rice, just pushing the blow against Indonesia.
Yeah, I thought she smoothed the waves there,
well,
you know.
The Americans actually led Indonesia into Rianjaya simply because of the Cold War's beginning after World War II, and then years down the track, Australia and America turned a blind eye to Indonesia moving into Papua. So it seems appropriate that Condoleezza Rice would head in there.
Well, shrill overtones coming from the direct neighbour is, for the domestic politics, not very good. You know, that's why I believe it got quickly smoothed over with the help of Kondo. And therefore, Golka Party, go back into your seat, sit down, shut up. You know, West Papua is going to become Australian, or rather independent soon anyway, you know.
But we'll fund it.
Anyway.
As well as every other sort of tropical island north of us.
Yeah.
Only if it has gas or oil or bauxite or copper or uranium, otherwise they're not interested.
Hands off the Torres Straits and Tiwi Islands, Indonesia.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Anyway, I got laughed out by someone in Nimbin when I spoke about this, sort of hinting at the parallel to the East Timor affair. And the person, they can't beat us, you know. The guy says, over there, there's 2 million people under arms, you know. They can very, very easily just take Darwin overnight and you don't even get to know it in Melbourne, you know.
That's what they did in World War II, didn't they? They hushed up the bombing of Darwin simply because of hysteria down south. People didn't know about it up there.
They certainly have got enough military to invade Australia, you know, and cause huge kerfuffle, which the Golka Party wanted to. Initially, you know, they got sort of tamed down with Kondo's persuasion, I believe, you know.
Well, there's a theory that they'd get stuck in the Kimberley and run out of arms and food and all the rest of it, and their store lines be broken up. Then they got a 45 degrees and 80% humidity monsoon weather up north inflicting them, and they're in a different terrain, so it would be a bit hard for them, just the same, but they've got huge numbers. But we're not to talk about that.
They just come over to vandalise Darwin and then they go home, you know.
They could run into the occasional shooting party out looking for lunch.
And they're not
there.
Yeah, and they bring over the militants and then they go home with their boats and leave the militants in Darwin to run around and vandalise and burn the village, you know, and destroy plantations and give Australia a bit of a hard time.
Well, would be the best part of that
quite
if they got really
possible,
drunk.
Quite within the reach of the Australian, of the Indonesian capacity to do so, I believe. You know, what have we got? We've got nothing. We've got a few battalions from America here, just sort of waiting for their turn in Iraq and Afghanistan. But that they're not geared up to defend this country, and they wouldn't do it.
And they wouldn't bother.
They're not paid for doing it, you know.
I know that I was reading one blog a while ago, actually, when the first sedition laws came in, and it was a Jewish, supposedly, a Jewish father sort of saying, I have moved my family to Switzerland because of these laws. This is just what was happening before.
Yeah, yeah. And, pack your suitcase, get it ready in the corner. Make swift moves.
I think it'd be fun to ride on the GAN down to Adelaide with a bunch of drunken Indonesian soldiers. That'd be interesting. Let's take on Adelaide. Let's give them real culture.
You hit the road if the war starts. It's illegal to declare oneself not a citizen of this country anymore, by the way. John Howard has to think that you have a good enough reason to do that.
Yeah.
Well, if you buy rights in Costa Rican rainforest, you get a bipartisan citizenship to Costa Rica. Let's all go there. Save the rainforest.
Pass over every border.
And I'm the only Afro-Australian living in Nimbin, so bugger off, John.
If you have an Afro.
You know, bugger off, John. Go and get some darker skin and then we talk again about it. Well, so this is a spiritual program. It's nothing to do with religion or any race stuff. It's just purely spiritual here. You know?
Can I give a plug for multiculturalism, mate?
Yeah, of course. If it's spiritual.
This is very spiritual. SBS is World Cup anthems.
Oh my gosh.
SBS is a song for the Socceroos. Perhaps a sarong for the Socceroos. We are multicultural after all. And why not a bunch of strapping beefy lads in tartan kilts in chorus at minus 18 Celsius on top of Call the Oscar. The chilled hand of Antarctica whipping up the inner thigh. What a crescendo that would be.
Your turn.
Cocaine Martin.
Yeah, he's too fast for us.
The police.
I wonder whether people think outside get it.
I'd like
anyway,
to see him in a tartan.
People outside are welcome to ring in here on 02. Oh, well, nobody outside of Nimmer here is 66890277 if you feel like it.
Fly,
or come here to the studio. Pop in. Put your mustard to it. We love it. What shall we move on the news thing a little bit, or leave the Papuan and the Indonesians behind?
Yeah, we're not going to get invaded tonight.
We're not going to get their copper and bauxite that quick anyway. There's billions and billions of dollars to be made now with China.
Yes.
And what do we do?
Quadrillions.
I just want to warn the Chinese people, and particularly the officials, when they come and sign that contract, they're signing their own death sentence with it, you know.
Yeah.
By the way, dear Bushites, John Howard, McFarlane, mention all those people who had stuck their heads into the uranium, you know. Please note, if you start mining this shit, you know, your grandchildren will be as much as affected as mine, you know. You won't survive it, you know. Your grandchildren will have a life expectancy of 12 years, you know.
I hope that John Howard's
signing his own political death certificate. They will be
born with three fingers
and two heads, you know, and one arm missing. That sort of stuff you can expect. And it is indiscriminatory. It doesn't make a difference between whether you're a liberal or you're an anarchist. You know, it doesn't make a bloody difference. Uranium, hazard, and radiation is just everyone, equal opportunity for everyone there.
Anarchy doesn't work. We just get drunk and go slam dancing back in the 80s in Sydney.
Yeah, apart from that, the Chinese themselves are not quite settled on actually buying it, you know. They're not even settled on going the nuclear option. So all this rah-hoo-ha about uranium cells is just here good domestic politics to divert again from all these other scandals still looming, you know, I believe.
There's always jazz ballet.
Yeah, makes good photo opportunities on the telly there to shake the hands with the Chinese guy, you know.
Maybe Howard's thinking safety in numbers. Maybe he's scared of America and... Actually, I wonder how much uranium is still being sold to America.
Everywhere. Australia exports it to everywhere, including countries which haven't signed up the MTP, and this is all bullshit. They're selling it to a lot of countries in the third world, you know. They're selling it first to France, and France sells it then to Nigeria,
alternative energy.
And to Algeria, and to Libya, you know, and we haven't done it, you know. But it's our uranium in the first place still, you know, so let's not kid ourselves here.
And it tastes marvellous.
Yeah. But yeah, yellow cake. With cream. I'd recommend to put ice cream on it. I've got you something lined
sugar
up here.
Looking like fallout.
To break a stall. Is there any stalling here in the show? No, there's no stalling, really, isn't it?
In this no.
What else happened on the news?
I just thought I was having another flashback.
What else did stick in your mind?
Stalling.
This and that. What
vaccine chicken eggs?
Oh, God.
Easter Bunny to deliver flu vaccine for society's bird flu and all newly emerging viruses. Yes, Easter eggs. I'm sure the wee folk, the tooth fairies, will be the first to call for the implementation of this novelty. Teeth for chocolate, chocolate for chickens.
What?
So if you're taking flu vaccines.
So if you indulge
on eggs, in eggs now,
you take the chocolate rather than the chicken.
That's right. Easter Bunny's going to deliver them. Then we all get a free cut.
Yeah. Yeah,
no subsidies, just Easter eggs.
Yeah, I thought that too. Welcome, John.
Paul.
Paul, sorry. Welcome, Paul.
John Paul Young.
You need
John
to Paul be Young. Much closer to the microphone. To
good evening, Martin.
Otherwise, you'll be totally ineffective. Much closer. This close.
Oh, alrighty. Yes, you're getting me fine.
That's better, yeah.
Sorry, I'm late. I've been watching tonight's 7 o'clock news.
Yeah, you're late, mate. What's the matter? Your volunteer shift here started at 7 o'clock, and where are you? It's 25 minutes past 7.
Oh, late for a previous engagement. Madly watching the 7 o'clock news. It's enough to make a person pretty mad.
Yeah. What comes to your mind?
There are tensions over in Indonesia over this. You've heard about all the problems with the cartoon of Alexander Downer and John Howard. Being depicted at
the distance of themselves, miles, light years from it.
Oh, all right. It's probably the most credible statement we've heard all day is when Alexander Downer says, I don't know what they're really all that upset about, having been depicted as a mating dingo in this cartoon quite realistically. And he's just saying, oh, we know all about what it's like to be, pilloried and beaten up in the media.
Oh.
It's about the only believable thing he said all year.
Yeah, he was honest there, I agree. Well, he's not honest when it comes to singing the Matilda and dancing the waltz with the sheep on the campfire, you know. Mm. He doesn't like to get that into the public, but that's another feature he does. Mm. So time for a new product here from in-house, from I think Warwick made this with the help of a lot of people from us here, including myself. We on TuneIn FM have
fearless, cheeky, challenging, informative, alternative, relevant news and analysis.
They have Alan Jones, advertisements, John Laws, advertisements, advertisements, recycled hit parade, and advertisements.
We on TuneIn FM have
local artists, world music,
homegrown talent,
scathing songs that make protest musical,
and cutting-edge releases expanding the boundaries of experimentation and creative exaggeration.
They have Alan Jones, John Laws, Cash for Comment, and
advertisements.
Of course.
We have dedicated, hard-working volunteers, talented artists, original productions, and a band of loyal local sponsors who we just love.
And we love money. On top of that, anyway, that was lovely, Warwick. Thank you very much that you made that for us here from NIMFM. I appreciate the home production, creativity, and commitment. And I thought to regroup ourselves now with four people here now, five people. That we have a little soundtrack here on, and it's about time to get into the alienation here a little bit. That's sort of the spirit NIMFM is woven together with the last 30 years, I reckon. And the 90s produced this little track here from the Spliffmaster called Alienation. I suppose other people have heard it before, but maybe the podcast people haven't heard it before.
As we walk through this new age of insanity, we learn the truth behind the lies. The aliens have infiltrated every known government in the world today.
Hollywood's victim, pumped up on silicon, dopes out in Valium, pushing your delirium. They walk amongst us, mother-hugging monsters, so self-righteous, monomaniac, gangster, mind distractor, the alien factor. Alien fiction, station to station, broadcasting blast, package like this, rap coach, so we're gonna bring you over. See security, happiness, purity, leave you breathless, defenseless, soulless, with your winning smile, such regret, sit by sit, you be threatened with death.
just a walking step. Blinded by the lights of Hollywood. Give it all up if only you could. See what it is that you pay. Dissatisfied, stressful, merciless, lustful. Buffet or a muppet, it's all the same. Someone else got the shot, you're the one to blame. Ah, come on, man. Kick back or be big man.
No one has rung up here. 668-90-277. If you want to ring in and give your mustard, we're doing this little bit. We are really good at it. We practiced this since 1999.
It's like a bit,
All right. So that's done. That's for those people who think we're doing too many ums. We've got plenty more here. We've got plenty more digital glitches if you'd like to have some faulty recordings. It's a whole cellar basement full of them.
They had to rehearse a long time.
But moving on the program, we were on the news. That's what we're going to come back to.
There is an update on Sydney's Valhalla Theatre in Glebe, which stopped operating as a theatre last August.
Are you familiar with that place?
It's spectacular. Yeah. One of the most glamorous theatres in the country, but it has been sold. That was announced today on this evening's 7 o'clock news, and. We are guaranteed though by the Cultural Vacuum Corporation that its heritage values will be maintained, that they will keep its present foyer, keep its present exterior. However, the rest of the building is going to be decked out for offices,
like the Mining Corporation Museum.
It would appear so. Yes.
Yeah.
It'd be very much in keeping with the heritage values of its tenants,
the financial consultancies and stuff. Yeah.
Costello's downsizing of culture in Australia. Bring back the Queen on ice, even. Oh, we told them, Dean.
I'm sure there'd be plenty of office space for her there. Yeah, yeah. We go, but that might be room for it.
Won't be Arts Council offices.
No, and it won't be on the stage of the Valhalla. That's for sure.
What about the Mandarin Club down near Pitt Street there? Parallel to Pitt Street, just up the road from Chinatown. Is that still floating about? You know the Mandarin Club?
Isn't that a place where women pole dance?
Probably is now, yeah.
I'd say that's where our cultural values are going in the country, yes. They're right down the dancing pole.
Well, it's pole dancing these days for fitness reasons. Mm. You can't put down pole dancing in this day and age.
Oh. Yeah.
It's like the new aerobics. It's true.
You must. Well, they should be out with their younger peers, like doing it in public venues. This pole dancing behind closed doors. I think is no. It's I don't feel secure with that.
It's romantic.
That's not very Catholic.
It's new use for the fire station when they're not happening.
Yeah,
this is a spiritual program, please.
No, it's just a spiritual program. You can't, you know, rub anybody down in the spiritual show, because it's not a religious show, don't worry.
That's all right. It's only walking distance from Glebe to King's Cross anyway, isn't it?
And you are allowed to listen in, ASIO, I don't mind.
Have we got any callers yet?
No, not yet, but I've got to hear this sort of thing. What's this here? Oh, gosh. We made this year, and actually Don Sharp made it. He is the man behind it. I thought I'd just present that because it is already on the internet, but it's not been aired here in Nimim yet. It's one of those things which, you know, these bloody podcasters again, you know.
No.
Do you agree? Shall we play? It's about 7 minutes and 50, so it gives us time for that usual sort of relaxation exercise we do in here in Nimim quite often between the... Yeah.
Bring the pole in.
Yes, we need the pole.
Because this is cultural. This is very cultural here. Yeah?
Definitely. Okay. Let the Easter Bunny loose.
Let's check it then.
Power, hold plan, cultural rationalism.
I'm pleased to have with me in the studio today NIMFM's Canberra correspondent Don Sharp, who's home on a flying visit with all the goss from the national capital. Good day.
G'day, Martin. Thanks for having me on scan.org.
Good to see you, Don. What's happening in Canberra?
Well, not a lot on the surface. It's been very quiet since the Labor members stopped turning up. They couldn't see much point in it. Kim Beazley, he still comes in, of course, but all he does is wander the corridors looking lost and wistful. I believe he's asked John Howard if he can be the next Defence Minister, well, even the current one. He liked that job. There's hardly any Democrats, so that just leaves the Libs and a few Greens. The Nats don't matter.
So, Howard can do whatever he likes. Is that part what you meant by quite on the surface?
Exactly. It's very clear that Howard is preoccupied with leaving his mark on history, you know. He's formed a secret group within the Prime Minister's department, and he likes to call it the Cultural Rationalism Team. It's all very hush-hush.
Cultural rationalism? Is that like economic rationalism?
You've got it. The Prime Minister has justified every new economic law from the GST to workplace reform on the grounds that the changes were economically rational, that Australia needs new policies that bring the country into line with the times, that are relevant rather than sentimental.
And?
And now he wants to change the country's cultural symbols to bring them up to date and make them relevant to today's geopolitical reality.
Very interesting. By artistic symbols, you don't mean the flag, do you, Don? Not the flag.
That's one of them. Howard plans to replace the British Union Jack on our flag with stars and stripes. He claims that George W. has promised him that if we do this, we can have a kangaroo among all those stars on the US flag. Howard's line is that we haven't fought and died for Britain for ages, and that these days we're fighting and dying for the United States.
Yeah, yeah.
Then he wants to replace the stars of the Southern Cross with chain stores in the same pattern, and replace the big star with a bloody big bulldozer.
There's a certain logic in that, but won't there be an outcry from the RSL? They say that Australians fought for the flag.
It's a sensitive one, but my sources tell me that Howard will argue that apart from the Kokoda track, the bombing of Darwin, the time the Japanese mini-subs penetrated some of our eastern ports, and the small role we played in the Battle of the Coral Sea, Australians have never fought under the present flag to protect Australia. And he's got a point. We fought for Britain against the Russians in the Crimean War, for the British in the Boer War and both World Wars, and for the British again against the Malays. Then the Americans worked out that all they had to do was ask us and we'd fight for them instead. So we had Korea, where we helped America fight China, Vietnam of course, and now Afghanistan and Iraq. All it takes is a phone call.
So for Australia to replace the British flag with the American flag would more accurately reflect our place in the world, is that the idea?
That's his line. And Howard is saying that we wouldn't have to waste the Union Jack. We can give it back to Tony Blair, and he can get George W. to put it on the Stars and Stripes, behind our kangaroo, because we thought of it first.
I get it. This way, the next time America asks us to go to war with them, our flag will show the troops exactly who they are fighting and dying for. And when do you think he will announce the change?
I'd say sooner rather than later, Martin. You see, hardly anyone recognises the Australian flag. Not even Australians. They think the boxing kangaroo is our flag. But all the hoo-ha over the Commonwealth Games has panicked, Howard. He's worried. The flag's becoming more recognisable. So I'd expect an announcement soon. The only hold-up is that Jeanette prefers a koala wearing a blindfold. But I expect he'll talk her around and then he'll turn his attention to the national anthem.
That too? What's the secret group got in mind?
Well, the National Party member of the team, he's just an observer, mind you, he favours that classical tune that goes dum-de-dum, dum-dum-de-dum, and he wants to go dig it up and chop it down. And Howard likes it because it scans better, he reckons, than our land used to abound in nature's beauties.
Howard is sounding very presidential these days, Don.
He'd love to be Australia's first president, except it'd mean becoming a republic, and he doesn't want that.
Cultural rationalism. I guess we're hearing a lot more about this.
Oh, I think so, Martin. I've heard, for instance, that Howard would like to swap the emu on the Australian coat of arms for an ostrich, and I'm sure our listeners will follow the reasoning there. Then there's the state's coats of arms. The rural Liberals on the team, and they're important, are arguing that any sheep should be replaced by a sick live sheep on a rusty boat, and that the sheaves of wheat should be clearly labelled genetically modified, that sort of thing.
Anything else?
There's the currency, of course. The front runner there is that we simply change over to US dollars. The same with our time zone. The plan is to change to US Eastern Standard Time, so John and George won't wake each other when George has some instructions for us. The rural libs aren't sure about that one, you know. But Howard's promising free lights for all the farmers so they can work in the dark. Big lights, like the night cricket.
Phew, surely there's nothing else on the PM's agenda.
Just the name of the country, Martin. I believe Howard favours Southwestern America at this stage. We probably have to formally become the 51st state, though, to get that one through.
Well, it all sounds radical, but Howard seems to believe that these changes are only rational, just a matter of common sense. Thanks for coming in, Don, and bringing us the news.
It's always a pleasure to be home, Martin. Believe me.
Bit of bird life here from Nimbim. Well, thanks, Don. That was lovely. I'll have that tomorrow again.
It's brilliant. We want to hear it again, Martin. Fantastic. Oh, love the crows and the ravens.
Well, I have to thank Don for that input. That's his contribution. And I've got more lined up here, but might sort of wait with that since this is a live program. So what else is happening here? Have we dealt with everything? No, we didn't deal with this message about the people who are hoping for praying for good health and stuff.
Oh,
they get totally disappointed. They get totally screwed.
I was looking for it.
Yeah. Well, I read in the Herald earlier on that in fact people who pray and are sick actually have complications after the surgery because their expectations have been raised, you know, and so. That was the Sydney Morning Herald.
They get really upset because they didn't see a big white light or something.
Yeah.
You would if you're kneeling on a landmine.
I mean, you have to pay for those things in hospital now. It's not for free anymore. You might as well get the bloody light, you know.
you want the white light out-of-body experience these days. You've got, yeah. Yeah, private health, is it?
Nice to the CIA.
Yeah. Yeah, and you should be entitled to the best possible drugs, you know, while you're there. I mean, yeah, right at the source.
At least that way you'd think you had an out-of-body experience and maybe deal with
it
a little bit
better.
Which it
probably is.
Yeah.
Probably is so, no?
I think they're just trying to sabotage all religions. Don't pray. There'll be no wars if you don't pray.
But remember,
believe in anything. It is far too dangerous.
Yeah, just pray to the wrong God. Sorry. Well, by the way, this is a spiritual program, and there's heaps more here lined up for you guys, but that was on my chest. I wanted to get rid of this praying thing.
No, that's all right. They could check which religion you are before they give you your fake out-of-body experience,
because,
and that way they could stick a cross or a little moon on it or something.
Because that's reality. You know, yeah. It's got to stamp the right religious logo on it.
Particularly American Christian values. Have a listen to this.
I just love good Christian values on my television. Like
that's violence. That's violence. Yeah. That's an acceptable means to resolve a conflict. Resolve a conflict. Resolve a conflict. Resolve a conflict.
Yeah, that's what you get, no? When people take the Bible in the North American continent into their hand, it might explode in other people's faces.
Well, you could open a Tibetan hotel up on the Great Wall of China.
Yeah.
Oh.
One of those.
With the
church tower on top.
How are they going to boost their tourism with our uranium sales?
After they destroy the environment.
Offer the tourists the chance to play God.
Yeah, that's
the
one
button.
And glowing bricks at night for the Great Wall of China itself.
Yeah.
Those bricks grow.
How about world dictatorship conquest tours or something? You could open a very specialised travel agency.
Yeah. Zing Too Loud Travels.
They are.
I believe he uses that airline, yes.
Full body search on the way in.
Yeah, you can book it in Mumbai, the tickets, so you can get the tickets, pick them up, airport here.
They're doing tour guides in those fast, super fast jets.
Microphone, mate.
Super fast jets, and now they're offering these tour guides. So you can theoretically, travel from point A at the bottom of Australia to point B at the top of Australia, high speed.
Yeah.
And I thought, well,
that's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, conquer five countries in a fortnight.
3 hours to London.
Yeah.
You could do an hour in Parliament in the PM seat for a certain price.
Yeah, even for a few hundred dollars extra, get to bomb the crap out of a few you just don't like all that much anyway.
Mm-hmm. Did you see this true fiction thing in the Herald?
No.
Inside the first page? True fictions?
No.
All right, well, there's a scramjet thing attached to this Boeing lineup, jet lineup, 737 or something,
It must be for the business class.
It starts at 3 o'clock. At 3:05, it gets rid of the scramjet thing and then dives down for 3 hours to London.
Climbing.
Yeah, it just dives down from 320-kilometre height, and then 3 hours later you land in London.
Up and then down, huh?
Yeah.
And you're missing a pancreas when you land.
It's outrageous, You just go 320 kilometres up above the earth, in order to go to London.
Can you get ice creams at that height? Does Mr. Whippy operate up there?
Pretty hard to get out there because there's no air.
It'd be hard to get the ice cream to fall at the right.
Yeah. This is spirit. I'll just remind listeners.
We invite ASIO to call if you like.
Yeah.
And we will release cantos at high altitude.
Yeah. And that's why
onion tree seeds at high altitude.
People are quick criticizing on the internet about this program, putting their comments and stuff, and I appreciate that feedback. It just tells me we are contentious. We're contentious.
You're
not loved, but we're contentious.
Us.
And this is why I have this here. This is an old thing, guys, because we're on this problem for years. This show contains no recognizable elements of truth, good taste, balanced views, nor claims to be relevant. To the contrary, it contains all the other not mentioned non-virtues of media except explicit language, inability of passionate expression, or sheer swearing. So if you expect a lot of mothers on this show, tune out, you won't get it here. It's more a general assault on the unconventional mindset. I don't want you to hate it, just tune out now. Yeah, do that if you don't like us.
Stop those things here.
Okay, well, back here on air. Yep. So, flying with scramjet to London, 3 hours, we've done that. Been there, done that. And it's not interesting because it's the pits in Europe, Anybody thinking England is interesting, just forget it. It's the pits. Everyone in Europe on the continent knows that Britain is the pits. No one goes there.
I had nice cod and fish and chips in Torquay, though, I must say.
Tasmanian wood chips. it's not point. Why to London? I mean, if I had that scramjet, where would you go?
Where would you go?
Yeah, and fancy dropping 3 hours out of the sky just to land there. All these passengers coming off with faces looking like they've just done wind tunnel tests, and they're just landing on the ground going, oh, so,
I expected Kansas.
Yeah.
These ruby slippers are broken.
Yeah.
There's no place like home.
It's probably not possible to eat and drink on that flight anyway.
Throwing a free facelift on arrival.
What is all,
on landing.
Flying all the completely with weightless, you know, no gravitation when you drop. You know, this is obvious. Every physics teacher can tell you.
Greeted in London by a giant effigy of Mickey Mouse.
Why is Roger the chimp flying the plane again?
Yeah. What? Yeah, circling around the twin towers, which are not there anymore. Why not? Yeah.
I just thought he needed electrolysis.
Yeah. Or, on the other hand, you can transport all the weapons of mass destruction on that thing and send it to the sun. No?
Yes.
Don't land it. Don't allow it to land it again. You know.
Just to see what would happen. You can program it.
You're halfway there, 320 kilometers. Not far away anymore from there. You know.
How would you pole dance flying down 4,000 feet, Martin? With a chimp? We could try it with a chimp first.
It would take an awful long way to get from the top of the pole to the bottom, yes. You'd be in the middle of the pole for a very long time.
I'd be worried about the friction off the chimp's hair, too, as you're sliding down that pole.
Provided you have a pole. If you don't have a pole, you can still do it, but you have to imagine it really hard. Because it's weightless, you can sort of mime it, you know.
Yeah.
But you could have a pantomime.
Like air guitar playing.
If you're pole dancing, that means you're either going to the Antarctica or Arctic Circle. You've got to guess which one on the arrival.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's not as luxurious as just Sydney XPT train, which has many, many pole dancing opportunities.
Or lap dancing, you might be going to Lapland.
gambling like that, and they'd charge you.
don't go to Lapland, that's terrible. Terrible, they all look the same. Horrible people.
Because we're breeding.
This is a spiritual program. You took so many notes early on the competing news. From
I'm a fast reader.
Some people reckon.
They're gone, man. You told me to slow down.
What do you reckon, guys? Someone wrote on Sydney or Melbourne that SBS is slightly better than the ABC, but it all sucks.
That's my Ian Thorpe comedy. So Martin won't play my Ian Thorpe tonight, but he's going to do it next time.
Well, go on.
No.
Okay.
I'm going to record them. I've recorded one. It's on podcast. The other two come up if you like Ian Thorpe jokes.
So, dear Ian Thorpe, you've got another week time to feel comfortable.
Was it Confessions of a Metrosexual?
No, they're very good. But you're going to have to stay tuned.
Yes. I'm finding this right. Yeah, could be. Well, I've always found his sporting conquest to be interesting, but
I mean, Beattie said the other day when the cyclone hit, that five cyclone strength five hit
Screaming Larry
Innisfail, he said, if he weren't Jesus, he couldn't have been faster than he did it, you know, the cleanup and the help and the rescue and all that, you know. I found that pretty outrageous. And Tony Blair last week said on Parkinson on the BBC talk show, he was asked, did he pray to God before he went to the invasion of Iraq, you know, and he made a long and emphatic statement.
By God, I did.
You heard that? You saw that? Yeah, or
no,
you read that?
I was guessing.
If you want serious rescue, you've got to have a death toll.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Gary Sweet stops all that nowadays, don't they?
What people Gary died? How many people were killed by the storm itself? None.
Two or one and a half? No?
No, the only people that died up there died after the storm from the results of it. That's
from
usually the way.
Alcohol overdosage.
Plague. From going outside for a chuck and falling in the water.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's what it is.
Black stick a tiger off the rotting bananas.
Just dangerous behaviour when drunk, probably, yeah. Yeah.
It's very difficult not to. It's sort of part of the daily ritual once you get north of, certainly distance north of the tropic, yeah.
Nothing else but cane toads.
Can you imagine...
They're all pissed
that,
too.
Could you imagine that someone like Pat Robertson or Fred Nye, they would think that a cyclone's got some kind of personality, some kind of religious denomination behind it, you know, like sort of...
Well, like Cyclone Charlton Heston.
Yeah, so, like, you know, or Catholic one, or...
Here
or
comes Harry Belafonte.
Not a Buddhist one, but good old-fashioned Muslim one. You know?
You were watching The Chaser this week when the prospect of corporate sponsorship of your cyclone name was actually raised.
Yeah, that was very good.
Oh, my God,
that was good. Yeah. Telstra.
Telstra. Cyclone Microsoft, guaranteed to make your Windows crash.
Yeah.
Go and see Office.
Can you say that again, John, because it's kind of poor, sorry. It's kind of, it's a bit noisy.
Oh, okay, yeah, no, if there's a certain amount of money, you will be able to have the exclusive corporate naming rights of your next natural disaster.
Instead of Larry.
Yeah.
What was the one in Queensland, in the Kimberley there, that went in down south to Karratha? What was that called? Ingrid, wasn't it?
Yeah. Tonight's death toll, brought to you by Coca-Cola.
Thanks. Shining advertising on the face of the moon.
Yeah. And do you know how they actually get to name them? Who's allowed to name them and by what guidelines? These bomb people, this Bureau of Meteorology people?
I think they preach safety with the naming because the cyclone is going to be that devastating anyway, so at least they can't blame the name then.
Mm. No, it'll just be a better for every office than the most money for it, I would imagine, yes. they would have to anticipate which ones were going to bring the most death and destruction and basically set a price based on how horrific this disaster is anticipated to be, I would imagine. Yeah. Certainly if that's how I was trying to make money out of it, yes. That's not something that's occupied a great deal of my thought, but suddenly basic rules of business spring to mind. You know, yeah.
And place the three names of the cyclones in the trifecta of the Terence Trent Derby or the Golden Slipper, either one.
Yeah. You'd have this sort of high-paying position in the Bureau of Meteorology that would be sort of prone to bribing.
Yes, occupied by a lady with stars on her dresses and a crystal ball,
That blow them away.
So you can't imagine to have a Hugo Chavez cyclone or socialist cyclone or
it would have to be a cyclone that was very even-handed in the meeting out of its death toll amongst the rich and the poor.
Yeah, yeah. Redistribution of wealth in this case. Yeah. Is it a measure to change the redistribution of wealth?
Yeah, definitely. If it only wiped out rich people, they could call it, you know, the communist cyclone of 2006 or whatever.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, well, it wiped out banana patches, I heard, and other things.
Batten down.
It definitely wasn't the National Party cyclone.
Well, someone instigated that hemp rescue package last week. I played that, but it's been dead and nobody laughed about it.
The coalition cyclone.
You hear me?
Only wipes out that's the Labour vote again.
You hear me? The author of that thing, no one finds it funny.
Plenty of livestock around for blood and bone, though.
Yeah. So, moving on to something, or...
Anything?
I've got here... Yeah, this is good. It's a good measure. It's we're in Asia. We should do... We should practice more. This is also an oldie from the archive, so...
Eastern Wisdom, and still here at home, I heard there are considerations to seek expert advice for our rearrangement of studio and pre-production facilities from a suitable, well-qualified Feng Shui officer. Ideas are welcome. Suggestions about realignment of perhaps the entire NCDA grounds have been mentioned. Excavating a 2-meter wide by 3-meter deep trench around the entire block of land for subsequent gentle dislodgement and rotation to a more benign alignment has been proposed. Well, here I'm at NIMFM. I can't wait to see the realignment and being better aligned to everything in the universe.
Yeah, oh horror, we just realized the show's almost over, so last words from you guys here. After we've been feng shuied, it should be no problem.
It was really good to see that they could dedicate a Rooting Dingoes cartoon to a worthwhile cause by publishing that reply in Indonesia of President Bang Bang Banana, what's his face? And the poor man from Irian Jaya. Yeah.
He's an expert warner. For travel warnings, he gives us the message first. We get the travel warnings actually before the DFAT. So I knew about it. I knew about it when they took in the 40 guys from West Papua. I knew we were going to have problems.
We were going to have a Rooting Dingoes cartoon or just a conflict of this magnitude?
They trying to draw pictures from the bauxite mine they fled from to explain to... Because they can't speak English, a lot of them, you know, don't consider that. Tanya and Luna, how are you doing?
Very good.
Do you want to say something, Luna? It's your turn.
I'm still trying to think what sticks in my mind.
Not quite sure where to go to bed. No?
Oh.
What about your fascism statement?
Well, what, that it originally means pragmatism?
I thought it originally meant a pile of burning sticks.
Well, this is a pile of sticks,
oh, okay.
Ready to burn,
yeah.
Apparently. It's a political slogan, apparently, from... Mm.
Oh,
an election years and years and years and years and years ago in Italy or something.
It sounds like they're predicting the demise of Mussolini. Didn't they take him out in the street and torch him or something like that?
I don't know. I think he's alive.
He ruined a good piano while he did it.
I think they kept him alive. He sits in New York somewhere in a cryogenic facility where his brain gets cooled.
Oh, beats floating in formaldehyde in the middle of Moscow, I suppose.
Well, they all want to learn of him still, you know. Giuliani, Bloomberg... You know, they all want to learn how he did it, you know. Because, you know, you have to know New York's full of Italian migrants or people from Italian descent. No?
Do they get to vote for the Italian parliament this week, is it?
Well, the Australian
I thought
they did. I don't know. They're still voting.
They're still voting?
Yeah.
I think they escaped the Nazis by moving multicultural Berlin to the United States and calling it New York, as far as...